Why tech stocks are suffering. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Yesterday was not a great day for markets in the U.S., especially for tech stocks, and that appears to be spreading to Europe. We've called up Michael Hewson to help us understand what's happening. He's chief market analyst with CMC Markets in London. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Here in the U.S., tech stocks got crushed yesterday. Facebook, Twitter, Tesla, NVIDIA, Netflix fell 6%. Why did this sector, which had appeared to recover Monday on trade news, why did it suffer so bad?
Well, I think initially everyone was concerned about the problems surrounding Facebook and ultimately how they use third-party user data and their users' data in general. And I think if regulators and lawmakers start to get involved with regulating Facebook, it could actually uncover some other issues with the rest of the technology sector. You could have a much more significant oversight start to come on the rest of this sector. And given that this sector has driven an awful lot of the gains over the course of the past 2 years, it does remain very susceptible to a bit of correction.
Well, why is it spreading to Europe? European markets are down.
They are. I mean, from obsessing about trade, now we're obsessing about tech. And unfortunately, I think there's a placebo effect going on here. Global markets are very interconnected. And every time you get a sell-off in the US, there is a significant drag reaction or a pull reaction in terms of European equity markets, which actually have been underperforming relative to the US, but for entirely different reasons. Concerns about a trade war, concerns about also a slowing in economic growth here in Europe against a backdrop of a potential tightening of monetary policy by the European Central Bank.
Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst with CMC Markets in London. Thanks.
Thank you.
And let's take a look at some of those numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.25%. The German DAX is down 1%. The French CAC is down 1%. Here in the U.S., Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.1% to 0.5% range, with the Dow future down 10 points. And the 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.76%. That's quite low in recent days. You might be familiar with genetically modified organisms. Plants, for example, that have had genes from some other species inserted in them to provide, say, disease resistance. Well, now new technology has brought about something called genetically edited organisms. Instead of adding foreign genes to a crop, this technology just snips out or rearranges a crop's existing genes. Food production giants like Monsanto are moving ahead with this technology, spending millions of dollars to create genetically edited foods like corn, soybeans, and wheat. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has more.
This new technology allows scientists to pinpoint specific genes to delete or replace DNA. Companies like Pairwise, now teaming up with Monsanto to develop a new line of crops, will select genes that, for example, can enhance the flavor of a tomato or extend a strawberry shelf life. Incoming Pairwise CEO Tom Adams.
We'll help them develop seeds that make them more productive, more sustainable in ways that benefit, you know, both growers and consumers.
The aim of this type of breeding means hardier crops, more predictable yields, and fewer pesticides. Gene-edited crops are already on the market, including a browning-resistant button mushroom and an improved potato. But Montana State economist Vince Smith wonders how long it will be before consumers gobble up gene-edited grapes.
The challenge with lab-based modifications is that they're sort of seen inappropriately as Frankenstein science.
To sell the idea and avoid the GMO backlash, companies say they'll be more transparent about the science. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Earlier this year, two of the country's biggest meat companies, Tyson and Cargill, made a big bet on lab-grown meat when they invested in a startup called Memphis Meats. But regular animal protein, you know, red meat and poultry from actual animals, is still pretty popular. In fact, Americans are likely to eat a record amount of it this year. KCUR's Peggy Lowe reports.
Here in Kansas City, one of the newer restaurants on Main Street is called Protein House. It's where I found Alexander Minnelli. He just had a Greek bowl delivered to his table.
So it's a turkey burger with brown rice, some low-fat feta cheese, like a salad, but it's a Mediterranean salad because you can see there's olives.
Minnelli is a bodybuilder and says he came to Protein House because he eats clean food, like turkey produced without antibiotics or grass-fed beef. He and other healthy eaters are helping drive record meat consumption. The U.S. Agriculture Department estimates that each one of us, on average, will consume more than 220 pounds of beef, pork, chicken, or turkey.
We are a nation of protein eaters.
David Portalatin is an analyst with NPD Group, a global firm that tracks consumer behavior. He says 56% of consumers named protein as the top nutrient they are looking to add to their diet. Portalatin says most people are sticking to low carbs.
Yeah, there's usually some kind of fad diet. Right now, you know, there are several that people may be borrowing bits and pieces from. But ultimately, what the consumer is saying, I'm going to do what works for me.
That's one side of the meat grill. On the other, there are trends cooking up meat in traditional dishes and unexpected places. David Sprinkle is a food market researcher.
There is a real celebration of meat of all types. And we've seen that with the pork craze, you know, pulled pork sandwiches, the bacon craze. We're seeing bacon, you know, in our candy bars.
The other trends are big calorie dishes like gourmet burgers, fried chicken, and charcuterie. Another driver of all this meat eating, U.S. supplies of red meat and chicken are at record highs thanks to a grain glut, so prices at the grocery store are low. In Kansas City, I'm Peggy Lowe for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.